We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson. Thank you so much to each and every one of you from tuning in from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. I'm joined this week by my wonderful friend and frequent guest, Dr. David Hardy. Dr. Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic today. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me again. This is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. We're going to dive right in and talk about simple pleasures. And we've been so busy talking about things that are not so awesome often and frequently that we thought maybe we should talk about things that are pleasurable. So we're going to top off this, begin this episode with Dr. David's. What's your favorite simple pleasure on this fine Friday morning? Simple pleasure number one. And why does it matter?
The matter part is the big one because, throughout our day, we're going to be bombarded by so many different things, as we've discussed before. And we are always kind of told to look at the good things in life. Well, let's actually dive into some of those good ones. And of course, all of it's a sensory experience. So like mine is each morning, I pretty much have a decaf coffee.
Decaf?
Yeah.
Of all the world.
Yeah. So I got off caffeine for the most part. I know decaf still has some and it's some of the processing might not be the best. But the reason I really like it is that dark, bitter taste. And actually, when it comes to taste, bitter is one of the big stimuluses in taste. Actually, it's one of the most profound ones. And that's kind of why when we're younger, we don't like that bitter taste as much. But as we get older, we really start to crave it. And like coffee is just the epitome of that great, dark, bitter aroma. So on the tongue, it's innervated by different nerves. And it's kind of nicknamed the bitter back nine. So with that one, you're stimulating a little lower in the brainstem as well. So just these multiple little stimulations per day are going to change how your brain is firing and how you feel. So
what happens with the bitter? Like, what is it actually doing in your brain? Is it making you happy, making you stop and take notice?
Absolutely. It's just one of those pleasurable things because, taste is one that gives us satiation. So it fires into that lower part of the brainstem. And of course, that's going to be more with body awareness and it's going to be more serotonergic. So of course, we've all heard of antidepressant drugs and antidepressants are supposed to work on serotonin receptors. Well, if we actually look at the nerves that stimulate that part of the brain and the serotonergic system, taste is going to be one of them. And all that feedback from taste and then from our GI tract falls into that category as well. That's why when some people, when they're stressed out, what they want to do is they automatically want to dive into their comfort foods, which are usually very sugary and laden that way. But what's happening is you're stimulating that part of the brainstem. And that gives us kind of that, once again, satisfaction feeling and calm and relaxation.
So is it a good idea to go for the calm and relaxation of those sugary foods? Or is it a better idea to throw something bitter in your mouth so that you stop the cascade of glucose? Maybe that's a rating you need to figure out for yourself individually, but it begs the question, can you interrupt?
That becomes simple little pleasures versus all the way to addictions, right?
Okay. Right.
what we're trying to harp on is multiple different simple pleasures that once again get your brain firing in a better way. Mm-hmm. Back to kind of the sugary stuff. Well, how many people out there though are very much more I need my dark chocolate type people? So that too is kind of, once again, that bitter sensation is that dark chocolate taste. And of course you want to get it so that it's more on the bitter side of the tasting versus the sugary side. So
yeah, that's interesting because my mom loves that whole dark chocolate bitter thing. And and I don't necessarily, it's not necessarily my go-to, but I'm trying to think of what other bitter things are there that would be familiar to people where they go, oh yes, I eat that or I crave that. So we have coffee, dark chocolate. What would be other things? It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, those are the two big ones that always come out.
So make sure they're in your cupboard. So you're ready. You're ready. So you have bitter coffee each morning with no caffeine, not caffeinated. So you're keeping yourself caffeine free. And so you're not getting stimulated through the caffeine. Are you getting stimulated through the bitter then?
Absolutely. Yeah. It kind of starts to wake up my brain in the morning a little bit. And that too could be because, there's going to be a little bit of caffeine in it. But at the same time, I can just salivate and the smell and aroma of coffee too is just one of those. It's got to be one of my favorite smells to have. And smell is very activating to the brain. And of course, that goes into a lot of the memory circuits as well. So we probably ignore the sense of smell way too much. And the great thing about smell too is that it's basically one of the only senses, that fires directly kind of into more of the frontal regions. So the olfactory into kind of that entorhinal part of the brain. So more frontal and gets us more alert. So different smells will have different impacts on us. And I think too, for men really ignore their sense of smell more than women. I think women, their sense of smell is more heightened. And of course, we see that more with the perfumes and everything else. But smell is huge. And for myself, that morning get me up is the smell of coffee, or even in the afternoon if somebody else in the office is brewing a cup of coffee, I'm like, oh, I love that smell.
Love
I don't
it.
Know what it is about it, but it just really, really hits me and puts a smile on my face. So
yes, I agree. And it's, I think also if you grew up in a cold country, that the smell of coffee in the morning is like it kind of is a cascade of good emotion because you feel yourself holding that coffee cup by your chest or the cup of hot beverage by your chest and warming up with it. So there's lots of memories that are triggered also through the, coffee, the smell of coffee, the aroma of it. And it's, I know also cinnamon buns do that. Fresh baked bread and cinnamon buns. You don't have to even eat it. It's like, oh, that smells so good. It's like very lovely.
Well, cinnamon is very strong flavor and smell as well, though. So kind of falls into that category.
Yeah. Yes. And so it's a good, I think it's a neat practice for people to just start noticing what are the things that you actually crave or that you personally find trigger you to do or feel things that are positive emotions, because there will be those senses, I think, that trigger emotions that are not necessarily pleasurable. So, ask any parent who's got a baby when you got to change a diaper.
Oh, geez.
Simple pleasures. That's when you need to have your essential oil and you take it and you put it under your nose or Vicks, it's like some eucalyptus.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh my gosh, there's the crime scene of the crime.
Yeah. Well, actually too, those like pungent smells and tastes that we don't like, they're also going to have a different stimulatory effect. they're going to stimulate more, once again, kind of that right brain withdraw centers. So people that are kind of struggling in that area, sometimes the therapy is to start smelling stuff you don't want to, because that's really going to kick into those centers. So there's a reason we have it, and there's definitely a reason, it might be good for you as well. So
yeah, the hacks.
Definitely a simple, unpleasurable experience.
The simple, quick, unpleasurable experience. So for me, I do my simple pleasure in the morning is Qigong. I do Qigong in the morning, and I don't really drink coffee until I've done my Qigong practice. So even if there's some brewing, I'll smell it and go, oh, that smells great. But I do the Qigong practice first. And also, I don't need caffeine that way. So I'm stimulating my adrenals, get stimulated my kidneys, my the good mojo in my body to feel good and feel activated. And it doesn't take very long, like between 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 7 minutes. And if I really get into it, then I might make it, be more minutes. But it's like you get into the flow of doing the activity, and it's a simple pleasure too, because I don't need to go to the gym. I don't need to have an instructor. I don't need to get out a videotape. How old are you? I don't need to get out a videotape or cassette to listen to the instructor, because it's just pretty natural, the Qigong and the Qigong movements. So
nice.
Well, that's a simple pleasure, because it's like you don't even need special clothing. You just get up and you can do it, and you can do it anywhere.
Right? It's true.
Yes. And feel good. Absolutely. Immediately.
Yeah. Love it. It's such a good activity. And the morning routines too, it's like the exercises, once again, it's going to get us more alert and into the flow of actually our day to day. And the hardest part is always just doing it, getting started with it. So morning routines with a little bit of movement and breathing, oxygenation, and then if you like that, and that taste, some sort of stimulation just to get us going and up and running instead is huge. Exercise is one of my big ones as well, and I try to incorporate it daily as often as possible. And even if I can't exercise, like I love going to the gym and I love mountain biking, but I also just like walking. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to have a strenuous workout to just feel that joy of walking and moving around. And of course, if I'm able to hike out in nature, that's even better. And once again, and it keeps me more sane and satisfied and stress-free. So. Yeah.
And what are the simple pleasures in nature? Like, what makes it different? You can do the same thing in the gym, or you can go out into nature. And what is it that you would notice that would be simple pleasures? Like, what's the nuanced things that make a difference for you, Dr. Dave?
Right. It's got to be the scenery and then the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially... being indoors all the time, we don't realize how much we really need that fresh air and how good it is for us, because we're constantly breathing in this stale air that's been heated because, well, it's cold out. the air is definitely one, and then definitely the scenery. I don't know what it is about the greens and blues. They just have that nice calming effect that now, I guess, the snow won't last too much longer, but the other day I was mountain biking and stopped, and it was that all the trees had that white frost on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it really was a postcard moment. Mm-hmm. Instead of just looking at this picture, you're absolutely immersed in it and enjoying everything around you. That's, once again, just has this unimaginable calm feeling from our overexcited artificial worlds that we live in.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good. It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, and I'd like to point out that there's kind of this difference in movement. So when I was running outside all the time, because I've done lots of different athletic endeavors and trained a ton of different athletic genres, let's call it that way. So dry land training, you're outside running and right. You're doing burpees and whatever, a million things. So very hardcore workouts. And I can guarantee you, you're noticing nothing natural at all because you are just training. So when you flip this switch to more, it's like stop and smell the roses, the simple pleasures of noticing or reverence for things in nature, that it's like a definite downshifting of your hyper activity versus that calming, noticing. And even in Qigong, one of the practices to improve eyesight is that you count the leaves on a tree. So you just sit there, and count 40 leaves, but you have to actually really focus. And out in nature is the point of it. So not in from the inside window. You go outside in nature. You look at the tree, you make sure you have at least 40 leaves that you can distinguish one from the other, and you count each one of them, and then you count them backwards. But it's like this, holy, and then you notice all these things about these leaves, like so the veins in the leaves and what color they are. And then it's like very, very cool how it starts to separate itself out and come into focus. And that is an exercise for your eyes. So
oh, big time. Yeah, you're working on that depth perception and being able to mm-hmm. go from basically that generalized picture or haze into actual like visual acuity. So you're switching from the trees in the forest to the tree.
Right. So how much more simple does it get than that? It's like that's a simple pleasure ego. Yeah. And then having reverence for your own ability too, that look at my incredible body that's actually doing these things, and my eyesight seems to be getting better. And that took me like 30 seconds, or if I'm really slowing things down, a couple of minutes or 5 minutes. So simple is the key really of these practices that we're talking about today. Because how long does it take you to have the first smell of that bitter coffee?
Right. It's just like a whiff that goes across and you're like, oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's really, it's really incredible how we're wired to, if we slow down enough to take in the simple things and right. how healing they can be or life changing.
Yeah. And like another great one is like you mentioned running or jogging somewhere in there, I believe as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe at a higher pace with your burpees, but the image I got was going for a nice slow jog, either in like that calm setting in fall is really amazing. All the leaves on the ground, everything else. And then also after a rain, like usually that summer rain where it starts to evaporate and you get that smell that kind of just, that smell of rain that lights you up as well, that little bit of ozone that comes up from rain evaporating and you just feel clearer and each breath is just like, yes. It's not a struggle because
yeah. It's just easy. Yes. The smell of cut grass and diesel. Farm girl. It's like smells of the farm. And they're not all pleasant, but they have good memories attached to them, right? So yes, the smell of cut grass. I think a lot of people can relate to that one. It's like, oh yes, smells good. Indeed.
Yeah, you either love that one or you're sneezing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you're sneezing. Sorry. Sorry for all you sneezers of the grass right. cut clippings. Yes, exactly. The other thing with rain or any of the things in nature is you're also stimulating your sense of hearing as well. So it's like what you're listening to, what you're like the chirping of the birds, the buzzing of the bees. If you're actually tuning into just, there's a so many sounds when people go, oh, it's like dead silent. I go like, shut your mind off and really listen.
Yeah.
There's sounds all the time, everywhere, all the time. If you're attuned to it.
Yeah. I had one roommate, he always had to have on like a rickety noisy fan or he wouldn't be able to sleep. He needed that like white noise in the background. We're camping out in at Yosemite and it was absolutely the most quiet I've been in a long time. And I slept great. And then I look over at him and he's got these huge bags under his eyes and he's just a miserable wreck. And I'm like, how could you have not slept? It was so quiet and peaceful. And he's like, I need that noise.
This is important because one of the things that we train ourselves away from is being able to calm ourselves down. So without the need of manufactured things. So that's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
I bet you see that a lot in your practice.
A tropical place, like if you've been to Thailand or any of these ones, you constantly hear sounds throughout the night. Like there's all the chirping from the birds, the insects, of course, and you're constantly hearing just nature sounds. And that environment's going to be a lot different than camping out in the mountains where there's sometimes zero noise. And if you do hear noise, it's probably not a good thing.
Sasquatch. It's the simple pleasure, your ability to run away.
Yeah. So it's kind of how our brains develop and grow and what we're used to, that we sometimes need that background stimulation to calm us down, actually. So just taking away everything's maybe not the best answer all the time either. Mm-hmm. It depends on, once again, what you can be in tune with that then helps you out and makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I think was such a blessing about growing up on a farm was that at different seasons, there was different things to listen to. So at some times of the year, there would be coyotes howling, and like often in springtime, there would be frogs, lots and lots of frogs croaking, you know, by the sloughs, that kind of thing. And you could always hear like the wind rustling through the leaves on the trees that were close to the house, birds chirping, and crickets. And not every year. So that's also interesting because it wasn't necessarily consistent year to year, but you could definitely, if you were listening for it, you could hear lots of night sounds. Can we train ourselves to actually tune those things out? Do you think?
Yeah, what's your thoughts? It's something that happens constantly with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's basically just something we're used to and our attention goes somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it is possible. The other day I'm doing my breath work and then I prefer it when there's the background meditative music with it. Mm-hmm. And that just gets me to relax. And they put on a different one and it would have the guided meditations come on every now and then. And that threw me off. Like to me, it was like, I finally got calmed down. The music helped. And then all of a sudden somebody's speaking and my attention and focus goes into alert mode again. Mm-hmm. So with those, it just didn't help me as well. So this is, once again, just being in tune with these things so that we're able to shift and change our environment to make us feel better. Mm-hmm. And that starts with all these simple little things that constantly are happening around us. A noisy fan could be somebody's nice relaxing music, and it could be torture for the next person type thing.
Right.
So yeah, just being aware of it and finding during the day what matches what state we want to be in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the morning, that alertness, that stimulation to get us up going and moving. Can start with just the simplest of body movements, and all of a sudden the rest of the day we're just flowing, and it's almost like there's a little extra in our step, and we're going through the day perfectly. Or it can be that we've had this high intense situation and now we need to calm ourselves down and get more into that relaxed mode because our system's just firing too high and it's not helping us. And all of this comes into, okay, well, how can we hack our day to actually make it fit our lifestyles and what we want to achieve or how we want to feel? All starts with these little things that if we're not in tune with, it's just haphazard that they happen, or it's just a couple of things that we really, really need type thing. But we can start to integrate more and more of these little things that we like and enrich our lives, which is very empowering versus, yeah, once again, let's just go to the gym and, oh, there's the news on the TV in front of the treadmill. And all of a sudden I'm angry about this and I'm running harder. Well, that might work for a little bit, but if it could be a jog out in nature and all of a sudden you feel more relaxed and zoned out during the exercise, all of a sudden we're in a different state that maybe is a better one than the one we were used to.
Yeah. So for those of you who are just listening in to this as a podcast, make sure that you come over to the masteryourlife.ca website if you want to see the interview video version, or to the YouTube channel so that you can see us video, because I think, again, this is a sensory thing, you know. So a simple pleasure for some people is listening to podcasts, and for other people, it's like, oh, I wish I could see those people. So, you know, I need to lip read because... What did he just say? What did she just say? So come on over to the YouTube channel or the masteryourlife.ca website so you can actually see the video version of us communicating these simple pleasures. Let's talk about this treadmill thing, because I think that's a really funny example of when I was training years ago and we'd get on and go, I wonder why the buttons on this are mostly red, because what it wants makes me want to do is stop versus, you know, if it was green, I would feel more like going, because again, that's in our culture, sort of the green is the go, the green is the, yeah,
right.
It, all of this thing. Yeah. So if you're trying to fix things or notice the nuances of what creates resistance, that's a simple pleasure for me. I know people go, wow, that's finicky or something, but I like doing that. I like going, oh, how could this be actually tweaked to be better for me? It doesn't have to be better for
everyone. Big one. Absolutely. Like red's a great example too, because there's rose-colored glasses. Mm. So if we put on red sunglasses, it actually, once again, has for a lot of people a calming effect. But because it's a lower frequency of light versus, say, a high blue light that comes from our computer screens. Mm. So sometimes that can be very calming to people. Red, though, also... this is a bizarre one to bring up, but in research studies, I've heard from animal experimenters that if they put rats into a red cage, they'll cannibalize each other. Mm-hmm. So different colors can have huge effects on the brain. And I always go to the one YouTube example of blue lenses and dyskinesia, where this individual has this horrible movement disorder, his head's just flailing around, and then he puts on blue glasses and the movement disorder starts to go away. Mm. And it's impactful. And this is kind of where the female brain has the advantage as well, is because female nervous system apparently is able to distinguish more colors than the male brain. And
that's interesting.
That kind of goes into the huge fashion trends that we notice a difference between that. Yeah, the husband's over there in this god-awful brown suit, and then the wife's in this gorgeous, colorful dress and earrings and makeup and hair done, all of it. So, yeah, simple pleasures, once again, and how we dress, the colors, and really, really tell us about kind of how that brain's firing and how to make that person's mood higher. And once again, with the enrichment we're all craving for in this world.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I sometimes put a bag on my head, because the red hair, I don't want to cause a frenzy. I'm conscious about it. I'm careful. I'm careful and conscious about my red hair.
So once again, if you want to see how we look, come to the YouTube channel. Leah's got this gorgeous flow of red hair.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hardy.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
It is a funny conversation, because the amount of hassle I would get growing up about being a redhead was quite substantial. So it was not necessarily a simple pleasure growing up, but it's become a simple pleasure over the last 20 years or so. Let's go to your example of the husband and wife sitting at the event. And right, they're together or whatever. A simple pleasure, I think, is human beings being together.
Big time. Absolutely. Yeah. We're meant to be social beings, and touch is such a huge one too, that we haven't really gone through. Mm. And So there's, of course, touch receptors, there's pressure receptors, but basically what I'm describing is giving somebody a nice, nice warm hug, mm-hmm, and just how that feels.
Yeah. Or you can imagine that. There's another.
Right. <yeah.
laughs> That's right. You can imagine it. We have all these, it's like clapping in our hands. When you clap, it's like the applause actually sends off really good mojo in your own body. It releases and activates good feelings. And so you don't have to wait to go to an event to clap for somebody else's performance. You can actually, clap for yourself. It's a qigong thing also, it's a activation of lots of receptors in the hands. Self-appreciation.
Multiply that in like a stadium with thousands of other people, and you just think, oh, how much richer that experience is. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason live music is always better live versus a CD. It's that overall vibration, and once again, it's a more intense experience. And if we can integrate that more and more into our lives too, then once again, we're living it instead of just sitting in a chair somewhere and letting life go by.
Right. So take a moment, everybody, and just think about, in the last 2 years, how many people have you actually touched? How many people have you physically made contact with? Because it's more than just like something that's sort of a fun thing to do on the side. These are really critical to our overall health and well-being. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Hardy, but in studies, it's really been shown that it's not necessarily the diet that you follow, but your social group that is the explainer for longevity and happiness, satisfaction in life. And so if you have a good social group, contact with people, physical contact with people, and that they're, you know, genuinely good people who have your back, that kind of thing, then you live a longer, happier life. Is that right?
Yeah, the Blue Zone studies have shown that, that the number one thing that basically keeps people younger for longer is going to be our social interactions. And if you're not aware of the Blue Zones, they're basically the areas of the world where you've got the most people living over 100 years old. And they've gone through and started to look, okay, diet, all these other factors that are going into it. And yeah, that plays a part in it. But yeah, the biggest one they found has been the social interactions.
Right. Yes. And so I want to pick up on this because it's, again, it's really critical that in the last 2 years, most back and forth communication has been one way. So yeah. You're like on a screen or you're in a box or you're like whatever it is, you're talking on your phone. So you're not actually physically with other people. And in fact, so there's not this reciprocity that needs to happen. Like when you are, if you think back to a time when you maybe have got together with friends or family or seen your kids or your grandchildren, and they give you a little hug and, or you give them a little hug and they hug you back. There's this reciprocity that happens, right? That doesn't happen in podcasting.
No.
And what I mean specifically is, listening, but listening audience. So when people just listen endlessly to podcast after podcast or watch news and watch more news, and they don't ever interact with people, there isn't that actual connection. The connection doesn't happen. It's just this sort of, what's a good word for it? There's just no connection. And so it can feel like, wow, I spent a lot of time with people today, but it could have just all been on the screen. So you, or whatever, but you're not actually getting that back and forth. My daughter and I were talking about this because I'd said to her, wow, it's like we have all these great listeners and people are tuning in, but I don't know how many people are actually ever getting anything out of these episodes. And I've been on for 6.5 years because the only way that I know that is if somebody reaches back to me.
Yes.
So when audiences go, we're not important, it doesn't really matter that much, you know, I'll just listen to 10 podcasts in a day. You need to know actually how important you are for our satisfaction also of like that reaching back. So we're reaching out to you with information and insight and intelligence and hoping to spark some conversation. But we don't know if anything is actually happening out there unless people reach back. And so for a simple pleasure for me, it's when people send me an email or a, like have a question or a comment or just feedback about what they would like me to talk about next on the show that or that something had value for them. Those things are the simple pleasures, right? It's just this so, because it becomes an exchange.
Yes. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more on that one. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to write to anybody yet, take the time to find out their email addresses and say, you know, thanks for putting on some great shows over the last couple of years. I did this with the people who I listen to in podcast land, you know, so I sent out 2 or 3 letters this past week because I too had been guilty about like, listen, watch, and then not really reaching out and saying, okay, thanks so much for it. I got this little bit of insight from you. It was really important. It helped a lot. And as soon as I formulated that letter and sent it, I felt better. I was like, oh, that was so much fun to actually send some feedback to this person that was positive.
Yeah, definitely. And for the negative feedbacks, there's the old hack to basically write a nasty letter and then tear it up.
The simple pleasure of writing it out and burning it.
Burning it to shreds.
That's right. Exactly.
All of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah. That's a very good, that is a simple pleasure. So not letting it bottle up.
Yes.
Definitely. But actually doing that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
the feedback to other people it lightens up both people's days. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah, saying thank you So I'm very fortunate to have grandchildren. And so as much and as often as I can.
I was going to bring up. Yes. Now, children, of course, are great because they're naive. They're this young, unfiltered energy. Oh. So what is one of the disgusting things you've seen your grandkids do that that was their simple pleasure?
Well, they're boys, so they are always making, the two of the older ones are boys, so they're always doing things that are, you know, kind of farting sounds, things like that. They're really into that. I'm like, God, that's so embarrassing, but they just kill themselves laughing, so.
Oh, big time. Yeah, ever look over and see, like, a little kid, though, too, like, picking their nose in their...
Oh! Gross. intervention.
But there's something about that touch that you look over, you're like, even though you think it's disgusting, you're like, what, that you can picture that texture rolling in between the fingers. So yeah, when we talk about touch and texture, there's all sorts of things, and obviously that one makes me laugh each time I look for a little kid playing with their boogers, and they're uninhibited by once again simple little pleasure of
they are
later on we find disgusting and gross. But once again, that's stimulating different pathways in our brain, and that's an immune response. Like saliva and spit is gross until we're kissing a loved one.
Oh, yes. Good point. Then it's okay.
But yeah, just also being in tune with our own bodies in all their functions.
Right. And that, to your point, builds that natural immunity, right? It's like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Germs are everywhere, and it's something we can't run from. And you can play with, I guess, the kid can play with the little booger or with the slimy little thing from the hand sanitizer bottle. They've got silly pictures, yes. Right?
They do. Funtac. It's like all the glue balls. You're right. They totally do.
Or back in grade school where you'd play with the rubber cement and make the rubber cement balls and stuff like that.
Yes. And for those of you who haven't done that, rush out right now, because it would be good. It's good. Good tactile experiences.
Right.
I love that. That is very funny. I'm trying to think of what some other ones would be. Good jokes and laughing, I think, are simple pleasure, like laughing about things, not at the expense of others, but just having some good laughs about.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Most of the comedy out there, it's about uncomfortable things. Like, kids playing with cougars, I guess.
That's right. We've got nothing else for today because that's all I can think about now.
Now it's just time to put it in practice.
I'm going to leave that to the boys section of the choir. It's like, you boys, you go ahead with that. That's an age and stage thing.
Yeah.
At what point does that become inappropriate? Oh, it's like the joke, mom said buns again. It's like, and then the kids all just kill themselves laughing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So other simple pleasures, I would say, with the other example of the grandees, is that they are frequently moving around all the time, and that's a simple pleasure that we forget about as we get to be, you know, older, because we just don't do anything. So my granddaughter, she's jumping all the time. It's like, she's a hopper. She's just hopping all the time. So I'm going to do some of that, but it's like hopping here, hopping there, jumping on the bed, jumping. Like she could jump up and down the stairs. Like, and she's just this little cutie jumpy jump. So it's something that adults don't do, but it's actually good for us to do jumping.
Great for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, and this is why education needs to be changed, is that sitting down and doing stuff for too long is not good for a developing brain and nervous system, or for keeping a good, healthy brain and nervous system. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the more movement, the more often you do it, that's going to be pretty much the biggest stimulation coming into our body into our brain is from movement. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes right to sight because of course that's how memories are kind of formed. But movement is the biggest stimulation to the brain. So if we're able to move more and more, the brain gets stimulated. The problem with so many people is that whole system is just deconditioned. So yeah, we go from being this beautiful child bouncing around, laughing, enjoying themselves, to having to sit there in a desk and feel that tension of being forced to do work type thing. And then that just goes on and continues to build wrong areas of our brain. And I think that's one of the reasons there's so much tension out there. Yeah, we got to get up and move, dance, and enjoy all this sensory input coming into our brain that is simple but ignored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much fun. And then when you're tired, what they do is they fall down and go to sleep because they're played out.
Yeah.
And they don't jump. She doesn't jump all day. I mean, maybe she would if I let her. No, I'm kidding. So but they have this natural sort of wave pattern of play till you're exhausted, then go figure out something to do, like either rest or like just zone out. They'll, yep. You know, sit down and they're just look cute for 5 minutes and then figure out what to do next. Every adult should learn how to do that. Just sit back and breathe, relax, and then they're moving their bodies again. But it is a very natural flow. Watching children is a simple pleasure. It's just
definitely.
Yeah, I think it changes something for us neurologically as well when we're around them, probably 6 years and under, because they're pretty uninhibited still at that point. Yeah. You know, after that, there's some changes where they'll stop doing things because they're culturally adapting. But that freedom of movement, and not all kids move the same, like, you know, not all of them jump, but they're often upside down on the couch. Every adult should try that for 5 seconds, see how your blood flow is. Mimic what the kids are doing. Exactly. So we're almost out of time, Dr. Dave. I mean, I can't even believe it, but it's true because we've been just talking about simple pleasures. What is your number one favorite simple pleasure and why?
Napping.
Napping.
I just love that sleep aspect. So I'm one of those people that sleep's not an issue for me, getting up is. I love sleep. It's just that nice, relaxed, peaceful little pleasure for me. And of course, my hacks are usually in the morning, how to get the brain back and being alert from once again, just this nice, peaceful calm of being able to just doze off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yours?
I can't tell. I will say human touch is my favorite simple pleasure. And that can be in all from little ones to intimate relationships. I think human touch is really important. Right. And so simple pleasure, I would say, yeah, that would be probably front and center, especially given the contrast of the last couple of years of really going, wow, it's like that lack of human touch it really does change your mojo. And so I'm very happy that to see people with their masks off and their faces are smiling at one another, and that we're reintegrating with one another again, those people who maybe took themselves out of the game for a while. So I'm really happy to see that. So for me also, that's a simple pleasure, just to watch and experience people smiling, laughing, touching, appreciating. Okay, that was more than one. Okay, I'm out of time now, everybody. Please take a moment to come to masteryourlife.ca. Send us an email. You can get all of our information from the website. Dr. Dave, thanks so much again for joining me and on this Simple Pleasure episode. I hope you have a wonderful week.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. Everybody, love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.